Well, now, the crime fiction, a story set in Sydney from the dark imagination of Candice Fox. At the age of 30, Candice has won 2 Ned Kelly Awards. These are the big prizes for crime fiction, and she won them for her first 2 novels, Hades and Eden. Now she's published the 3rd. It's a series, so this is the 3rd one in the series. It's called Fall. She joins Kate Evans in RN's Sydney studios.
Candice Fox, thanks for speaking to us on RN.
Thank you very much for having me.
Now, Fall's the 3rd of your novels in a series, and I've read all 3. So I wonder if we could start big picture before we get to the latest. Now, the series is full of lost and broken children. Why?
I had quite an interesting childhood, and much of it was spent observing children who had been neglected and left behind. My parents had 4 of their own children, and then my mother, who particularly likes to rescue people and animals and things, decided to start fostering when I was about, I'd say about 4 years old. And in across her fostering career, she's had more than about 155 children that have come through our household. My younger sisters are actually adopted out of the foster care system. Yeah, they're both 24 now. So as far back as I can remember, I had children turning up in the kitchen at 3 a.m. being escorted by police, and they'd just been, rescued from some drug den, or their parents had been arrested, or they'd just been found wandering the streets. And, you know, that's children of all ages. It was just a huge, it was something totally different to anything my friends were experiencing at the time. I was turning up to school with these children all the time and sort of saying, this kid might be here with me for a couple of days or a couple of years. Yeah.
But you've taken that observation into quite dark places because these aren't stories of just of redemption or survival. I mean, a lot of it is about the damage that's done to these children. So does that come from what you saw?
For sure. A lot of people think that fostering is kind of like Pippa on Home and Away. If you can remember, years and years ago, these very well-behaved, beautiful children would come along and have great new lives. But often we would find children who have grown up in these neglectful and abusive relationships are violent and scary, and, you know, we had scary 3-year-olds who would hurt animals and who, couldn't talk and had been left in a crib their entire lives and they can't walk properly, things like this. Really damaged teenagers in particular, who only really knew how to respond to things with violence. They would steal, they were often serial runaways and this sort of thing. So a lot of my childhood was spent reacting to these children in my household, and their time with us was spent sort of trying to fit in with this weird, eclectic family, half of them other foster kids and half of them, you know, natural kids. And, yeah, it was just a menagerie of all sorts. And my mother would talk about the honeymoon period with these children. Sometimes, we'd have them for 2 or 3 days and they'd just be perfectly behaved, and then they would start exhibiting very strange behaviours. And, you know, we'd sort of have to find out what was causing that. Had they been abused, or, you know, why were they acting so strangely?
Is that what got you interested in stories?
I suppose so. I, being the middle child, I was quite jaded, particularly in my teenage years, about all these extra kids. My mum would take up to 6 extras. So sometimes there were 12 children in the household. And it really made me wonder, you know, where I fit in. And the dynamic was changing all the time, particularly if you had multiple families. And I sort of found myself wanting to retreat from that. So I would hide in my bedroom with my old huge beige computer, and I would just go into other worlds to escape the calamity of what's happening in my house. Yeah.
Let's try to imagine, I guess, how that connects with this world that you've created in this 3 novels.
Yeah.
And perhaps we could start with a character who's not the main focus of the novels, but he shaped it in so many ways. He's called Hades. Who is he?
So Hades is an ex-underworld figure. They call him Hades because he's the lord of the underworld, and he sort of grew up in the King's Cross area and came to power sort of in the 60s and 70s. He's retired now, sort of. He owns a landfill, and he will hide bodies in that landfill for particular people for a particular amount of money. And he reminds me of my mother very much in that, not that she's a criminal overlord or anything, but that his main focus in life, or his instinct, is to rescue things. So he rescues things out of the landfill. He takes rubbish, different car parts and parts of washing machines and things like that, and he makes sculptures out of them. And in book one, the opening scenes are that he is... he's going to hide a couple of children's bodies in his landfill, and it turns out that they're actually not dead. So his redemptive role for those children is bringing them up and trying to rescue them.
And in the second novel in the series, we find out more about his own background, which is he had a very brutal childhood too, didn't he?
Yeah, I suppose. I don't think there's anyone in the novel who has like a wonderful childhood and, you know, comes from a nuclear family or anything. I've been recently considering where Frank grew up and how, because I don't explain that in the first three novels. But Hades' childhood is awful, and he uses that trauma to become what he is. I suppose all of the people in the novel grow out of a trauma. Even the killers across the series all have their own personal traumas, and it's what they grow into and what that makes of them and how much of their own actions twist that around. I'm still asking myself whether or not Eden is truly evil. She's Frank's partner in the series, and you'll find that she does some really awful things, particularly in book three. And people, readers have called her callous and evil and underhanded and sneaky and all this. And I'm not really sure what she is at the end of the day. Yeah.
Well, let's talk more about her. Mm-hmm. So she is one of those children who were found at the tip. And we should also say this is a dark story of Sydney. It's a violent underworld version of Sydney. So we meet her mostly as an adult. In the first two books in particular, she is almost impossibly perfect. I mean, she is strong, she's intelligent, she can almost do anything. Mm-hmm. What inspired you to make her like that, to make her such a survivor?
When I looked back at Hades, the novel, and I was sort of analysing Eden and Eric, her brother, both of those characters are very vampy, and I think that might have grown out of my teenage love of Anne Rice novels. I always see the villainous people as being beautiful and strong and almost otherworldly. So there are elements of that to Eden and Eric. They both have this glossy black hair, which is very vampy.
And they're cops too.
And they're cops, say. Yeah, we should say that. Eden spends her day fighting crime and then her nights committing them. And people have asked me, are you Eden? Is that where she comes from? And I've said, no. She's more everything that I would like to be, like not a serial killer, but she's confident and strong and charming and all of these things. And I suppose she just does things and is in a way that she has the composure that I wish that I had as a person.
But Eden does have a little bit of a character flaw, which you referred to there. Mm-hmm. So what does she do at night?
So Eden is a serial killer. She and her brother are serial killers. And during the first novel, you get to watch them grow up with this killer instinct. So they start like most serial killers do, by hurting animals, by being the outsider in their social groups, being strange around their other children in their school and things like this. So they slowly progress into these violent killers.
It's not indiscriminate though, is it? Who are they killing?
It isn't. So Eden and Eric only kill people who they decide kind of deserve it. I suppose they go after other killers. Eden in particular doesn't like other very skilled killers to be in her area. And in the third novel, she sort of takes down a pair of killers because she's the only shark in the tank, she tells them. I was sort of hinting in the first novel that the only reason they choose bad people to kill is because Eden and Hades believe that Eric is so bad he would probably kill anyone if he had the chance. And Eden actually wonders whether he does go off and, you know, just spend his desire killing whoever.
So this woman, Eden, is beautiful, strong, a terrific cop. She's very good at solving crime. She does have this little problem. Her partner, Frank, knows what's happening. And he's not quite sure what to do. So he's no superhero, is he? He's no solver of problems. How would you describe Frank? What role does he play in these novels?
I suppose if Eden is perfect, Frank is totally imperfect. I wanted him to be very ordinary, and he didn't end up that way. He's not your average guy, but I wanted him to be a safe place where the reader could deal with all these extraordinary characters. So I didn't put much effort into turning his voice into someone different. I just used my own voice and my own thoughts, and Frank ended up very much like me, and he reacts to things the way I would. I didn't want him to be one of these crime heroes that you see all the time who has the dead wife and, you know, the floppy hair and just needs a woman to take care of him, this sort of thing, you know. He's pretty happy-go-lucky in the first book, and I just wanted him to be the lens through which all these other extreme characters are viewed.
But you like to play with our sympathies, it seems to me. So we're not quite sure whether Eden is a hero or a villain, and even whether Frank is, because when, you know, it's not clear what he's going to do. And you play with that in all sorts of different ways. And so, as I said, Eden was this beautiful, competent, almost invulnerable woman. And then at the end of the second book, just before this latest book we're going to talk about, she's horribly injured and damaged. So how has she changed in your latest novel, Fall?
In the third book, I continue that questioning of whether Frank, who is supposed to be the hero, stereotypically he would be the hero and he would be the good guy and everything that he does would be, you know, admirable. But in the third book, I wanted to sort of start forcing the reader to pledge their allegiance to one or the other. When it comes down to, I don't want to give away too much, but you have to ask yourself in the third book who you're really rooting for and who you want to come out alive, because Frank has to confront the idea that he knows what Eden does. He knows that she's a killer, and he spends his entire life devoted to catching killers. And it's just an unsustainable situation. He either has to stop enabling her and take her down, or she has to sort of see that that's coming and take him down. She's always one step ahead, so she knows that that has to be what ends up happening. And I think that readers will go with Eden because she is so likable, but then hopefully they're asking themselves, am I really going for the serial killer here? Am I really 100% behind Eden and the things that she does, you know?
And you also make us question that by creating a character, Imogen, who we meet at the very end of book two, who's Frank's new girlfriend, and she seems sympathetic at the end of book two, and she thinks that she's found something out about Eden's real identity. And you change our perception of her all through that third book. So are you just wanting to play with our heads?
Yeah, I am. I am. What I tend to do across all of my writing is I test my writing on people. So my fiancé, Tim, or my parents, or I send it to my agent. And I usually do this after about 30,000 words. And I say to them, are you thinking? Who do you like? You know, where do you think it's going and what's going to happen? And if they guess, I change it and I change it around so that it becomes unpredictable. There are so many books, that crime books, that I've read and I've been going along and I think this is what's going to happen and this is what's going to happen over the next 10 pages and this is how it's going to end. And I just hate that, because you've invested so much in starting the novel. I want to be shocked, and I want to be, as a reader, I want to be questioning all the time, who is this character? Am I really behind them? Do I really like them? And I think that's what gets people talking, certainly about my work. And if people are talking about it, then other people are listening and hopefully going out and thinking, I want to know what all the fuss is about, you know?
Candice Fox, thanks so much for speaking to us on RN.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
On RN, Kate Evans speaking with Candice Fox. What an intriguing family life she's got. You could really feel it playing into her stories, couldn't you? The new novel's called Fall, and it's published by Bantam.